Hallelujah. At the end of the service, we will give opportunity to give. And those of you that are watching, I appreciate many of you that from time to time bless the church through online giving. It really makes a tremendous difference. If you're being blessed, and this is not to put anybody under a guilt trip, but if you're being blessed and receiving, then it would be a good thing to ask the Lord from time to time what he would have you to give to support this ministry. Hallelujah. So we are believing God. We continually pray and believe God that by faith that our week-to-week provisions are coming in. And so you're a part of it. People are seated here, a part of it. And tonight, before you leave, if you have anything that the Lord has blessed you with, then please bring it forward. Hallelujah. Let me make some announcements. This is vital, and this is vital for the people that are watching as well. Last Wednesday, the Lord gave me, it wasn't an expanded vision, but it was an inward vision, and it really broke me for a while. I saw at least a scene. I didn't see an extended version, but I seen a scene of revival. It really had an impact on my life. And then Sunday, I had no expectation of this, but I came in here, and as soon as the boys started playing, the Holy Spirit said, have a worship service. And I knew immediately he wasn't talking about that service or even Sunday night. But he began to speak to me and say, plan a worship service in the near future. And I knew immediately that July was not a good month. And then the Lord began to speak to me and confirm a date in August. And so Sunday night, August the 12th, we are going to have a worship service and a miracle service. And we are inviting you, our family, please, on that Sunday night, invite as many people. Now, we're going to pray for one another. Anybody that comes, we're going to do the James. Let the elders of the church, the James truth, let the elders of the church pray over the sick. Is there any sick among you? We're going to do that. Anybody that's going to be a vital part of it. But we are inviting people. We're asking you to canvass, or if you see anybody that needs prayer and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, please invite those people and invite them into your home. At a certain point, the Holy Spirit is going to initiate and tell us when that is, and we're going to pray, and you're going to pray there, laying hands on them. The elders in this house will be ministering with me in prayer. Now, here's some more instruction the Holy Spirit has said for me to give you. During the month of July, and there is a particular window in the month of July in which I will invite you. I'll not mandate, but I'll invite you to do some fasting with me. And we're gonna fast and pray. And I know I'm hearing God on this, and I appreciate your prayers. You can fast any time in July you like, but I'm going to tell you when that'll be. I have some calendar dates, but I'm going to ask that we fast as a church. And if you can't do the whole thing, that's fine. If you can do parts and pieces of it, that's great. But that's what the Lord is asking of us. And we're going to come in here, and we're going to believe, and we're not going to set our hearts on miracles, but we're going to set our heart on the Lord, and we're going to see what God does, okay? We're just going to see what God does. And so I'm excited because I didn't come up with this. I'm not trying to get some kind of gimmick going here so we can get more people excited or attention. This is just God. Hallelujah. So August 12th. So mark that down. That's on a Sunday night, okay? A week from tonight, which will be July 4th, we will not have service, okay? So make sure you probably know that. But those of you that are watching, that'll be July 4th. We will not have service next Wednesday night. So the announcements on July or August 12th. I want to go through this, make sure I give this to you. Sunday is going to be an incredible day. Besides for everything else that the Lord is going to have us do during that day, but part of it, especially at the end, we're going to have some real celebration. because I've got some things that I need to share with you that is some extremely good news, and you're going to want to hear that news. And so we're going to do some celebrating together as a church and praise God for victories when they come in. And so you definitely do not want to miss Sunday. We're going to do some extreme celebration together. If we have to, exaggerated celebration. Hallelujah. Also, I want to speak to everybody that's watching. I don't know what venue that you're watching through. You may be watching through Facebook, but I can tell you this. Facebook is okay, but our main venue of broadcasting, which is even more pure, is our web streaming that comes through our website, and that's bronkflint.org. And if you can access us through Facebook, you can go on our website. The reason why I'm telling you that is this. Sometimes Facebook will drop us. Sometimes the quality is just not as good, not nearly as good. Gary watched Sunday's service, and he just loved the message. He was really loving the message, but he said, you know, the song that I sang, he loved that and gave me the high fives on that and said, man, you look good in that hat and all that stuff. But he said, on Facebook, it was going in and out, and I went to your, because I reminded him, and he said, when it gets on YouTube, because I'll watch it again, because it'll be, and I said, man, you can go on our website always, even if Facebook drops it. And Facebook dropped it Sunday, not because of necessarily Facebook's problem. We had some problems that we're working out, that Harry's working out, and Marty's working out, and the Holy Spirit's working out. We're trying to figure all that out. So that wasn't necessarily Facebook's problem Sunday, but even with that, Gary said once he went on our streaming that the song was clear, it was fine. So I'm telling you, I don't want to make anybody scared, but I'm seriously contemplating not streaming through Facebook. We don't even need it. If you can access us through Facebook, you can go to our website and watch us. So that'll be a decision that I'll make in the near future. It won't cut anybody off. It'll just absolutely give you more quality. I just want to let you know, please, the best thing for you to do is not to be watching us through Facebook. Watch us through our website. So again, amen. And Facebook will eventually drop us on different services. So you can't trust that. You can't trust that. Hallelujah. So everybody got that? Hallelujah. So I like Facebook. Well, that's fine. That's fine. But I'm not promising you we're going to continue with that. So I'm seeking on that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is the Lord good or what? Yes. Hallelujah. Let's just worship just a little bit more. That one you had, he's a glory in the lifter of my head. I think we could do that again. Hallelujah. Tonight's message has got an unusual title to it. It's called The Full Soul Hates the Honeycomb. We're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 27. I'm going to ask you to turn there with me. Those of you that are watching at home or listening to this, we're going to read out of Proverbs chapter 27, verses 1 through 7. But there's about three verses in that. We just have to start at 1 because it'd be kind of hard to start four verses down. So we'll bleed into where we need to be here in just a minute. The full soul hates the honeycomb. So what's that all about? Well, we'll find out. We're going to look at God's word together. Let's look at verse 1. I hope you're there, and I hope you've got your Bible. If not, I hope you're listening intently, not letting your mind wander. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. A stone is heavy, and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke. Now we get into these verses where we're at tonight. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Okay. Verses 5. Now, when we look at a proverb, some proverbs carry the full weight of all their verses. We'll speak of one. Some of them are like parables that Christ spoke. There'll be a number of different subject matters that'll be spoken. Now here, Solomon is just spouting out wisdom. And some of the verses go, obviously everything goes together, but some of the verses go hand in hand and they coincide with each other. 5, 6, and 7 are the ones that coincide and especially point together for the same subject that we're about to speak tonight. 5, 6, and 7, they go together. Verse 7 says this, I'll read it again, I've got it in front of me, you do too. The full soul loatheth a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. The word to loathe or loatheth, I kind of stutter over that, means to reject. It is synonymous with the words meaning to hate or to despise. Okay? So we could read it like this. The full soul hates a honeycomb, but the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Why would anyone, now listen, why would anyone hate the taste of honey? Okay. Oh, we got an amen. If you're not here in the building, we got an amen from Sister Gay Plamondon, one of our elders, but her and her husband, and their family own a honey business and franchise, and they, all of them are involved, and they have their separate businesses, but they all go to, and that's how they make their money. That's how they support each other and the church, and I say amen. Why would anyone not love honey? Amen. Hallelujah. But even if, listen, even if you do not normally desire the taste of honey, honey was something typically referred to in high regards, something that was precious, okay? So when we're speaking here and it says the honeycomb here is something that God would put as something really precious, to something to be desired. I've got this verse. You don't have to turn there. You can stay where we're at. Exodus 3:8. And I came down to deliver them. This is God talking to Moses, out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And if you go, and I just picked out one. If you go to your index, or if you go to concordance, you'll find that starting from that verse, that's the first one in 3:8. But if you go all the way through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and there may be some in Deuteronomy, and in Joshua, I know there is, again and again and again and again, the Lord says, I'm going to bring you in. Moses says it sometimes, and they're conversing with each other, but it's just repeated, I don't know how many times. I'm going to bring you into a land that floweth with milk and honey. So honey was something, you know, whether somebody likes it or not, it was something that the Lord said, that's my prosperity. When I speak of that, that's my blessing. That's something that is sweet to be had, and it's wonderful, and it's to be compared to his presence or his glory. The honeycomb was seen as God's prosperity, his blessing. And again, we're asking the question, but we're going someplace. Why would anybody reject or hate the honeycomb? Now listen to this. When you are hungry, now again, the full soul loathes, despises the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Why would anyone reject or hate the honeycomb? When you're hungry, now I'm speaking on the physical, practical side, when you're hungry and feeling as if you're starving, the thought of almost any kind of food can be great. It can be a great desire. Much more your favorite meal, but when you're full, nothing sounds good. I mean, I've been, you know the story. I don't know how you'd relate, but if you're working in the yard or you're working with the bees or you're just having a recreational day and you're just having a good time and maybe several hours have passed, and man, you feel like sometimes, I mean, I've been hungry before and then I've been starving. I mean, ravenous. Like, man, I could, you know, whatever's in front of me in the refrigerator, you don't have to warm that chicken up. Just give me that right now. Oh, no. Cold chicken is it's its own food group. Hallelujah. It's glory. That glory to God. Give me that. You know, so, you know, raid the cabinet and you're cramming stuff in there that you normally would say, I don't really care about that. But man, when you're hungry, you'll just eat and eat and eat. Now just think about this. When you've ate, just to illustrate what we're talking about, when you've ate a huge Christmas or Thanksgiving meal, at the moment after you're so full, you're a tick sitting there, and you're either on the verge of having to repent or throw up. At that moment, you could care less about looking at any more food, not even your favorite dish, not even something you really normally just love to pieces. Now, here's the thing. Here's what this verse is telling us. The full soul is the soul that is full of the diversions of this world. When the soul is full of all the diversions of this world, even the most delectable spiritual food is not appetizing. Do you want me to read that again? The full soul is the soul that is full of the diversions from this world. When the soul is full of all kinds of diversions of this world, even the most delectable spiritual food is not appetizing. The full soul is not hungry for God. No matter how powerful the revelation that is presented, or no matter how powerful the spiritual move in the church service could be, the full soul, and I put in parentheses, air quotes, that's the one that's full of earthly distractions. It does not appreciate it in the full value which it exists. God is coming after us, people. He loves us to pieces. We are His hope in the earth. He is hoping, for all practical purposes, and I don't believe He does this, but all practical purposes, He's got His fingers crossed, and He's talking to Jesus, and He's saying, I believe we got a bunch, but we're going to have to take them all the way to eliminate every distraction possible. They've got to appreciate my spirit and my word more than life and be obsessed with my presence. Absolutely, to the point that they begin to eliminate every distraction in their life. Otherwise, we'll continue on reading our notes here. The full soul yawns. I don't want to be, you can talk about yawning and do one and everybody will start yawning. It's very, very suggestive. But the full soul yawns at the presence. And I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about believers that are so distracted because they're so full of, their life is so full of other things. The full soul yawns at the glory of God. Yawning is not bad. I've yawned in church services before, too. I'm not trying to get over. This is not a message that's so simple or so picky that I would go after something like that. I'm just telling you, yawning is also, it's not only that your body is saying, I'd like to take some rest. Yawning is also normally understood like, I'm not really interested. That's also, the full soul is not so interested in the glory of God. It's not so interested. The full soul is so satisfied with earthly things that there is everybody still with me? Okay. The full soul is so satisfied with earthly things that there is no craving for even the most powerful things of God. God is calling His church. I just exhorted on this just a second ago. God is calling His church to come to a place of passionate desire beyond any words to describe our obsession. Obsession is usually a bad word, but we have to be obsessed with the presence of God. Think about it, crave it. The more you think about it and crave it, He'll come to you. You'll have your visitations. And he'll create a craving inside of you that after a while you won't be able to live without more of him. We must desire to drink from his well of living water more than we desire life. Only the thirsty and hungry soul can receive an outpouring. Only the hungry and desperate can receive a revival. Nobody ever in the history of revivals or outpouring ever stumbled over a revival. The closer they got to it, the more their lives got so single towards prayer and fasting. And I said this Sunday was an incredible day. You guys were pulling with me. The Holy Spirit brought out some things concerning Solomon and concerning his passion for God, and we presented some things. I can't do this without his anointing, and it helps so much when you pull with me. But I can tell you this, and I said this Sunday, I'm not trying to make a bunch of zombies out of you. He's not. You got to be mommies and daddies and family people, and you got to work, and you got to, I understand that. We're not wanting to have a bunch of people come here and become preachers and just live in the church, but I'm telling you, the closer we get, the more segmented and more divided the Lord expects of our time and our energies and everything that we do. We got to become sellouts. Well, Pastor, if you remember Sunday, I held the chair over my head. I wasn't going to throw it at nobody. if you preach like that, you're not going to have anybody. Do you think, based on looking around, that I'm scared about losing anybody? About crowds? Jesus. We're past that point. Thank you, Lord. We're raising up a bunch of revivalists. You're here. When we pray that Sunday night, I expect the elders, the men and the women, to be praying with me up here. I don't know if I'll even lay hands on anybody. We're going to speak the word. They're going to lay hands. We're going to see what God does. We've been called to do this. We must drink. We must desire to drink from this well of living water more than we desire life. Only thirsty and hungry souls can receive an outpouring. Only the hungry and desperate. We got to get desperate. Remember, listen, Sunday, I'll just remind you a little bit of that. Wasn't it amazing? I preached it, and it amazed me. I preached it, and it amazed me. Gary texted me today. He said, my God, I listened to the rest of that, and he said, my God, that struck me. How that Solomon, in his old age, after he had served God in his old age, he turned. Why did he turn? We went through that whole thing. We went through the scriptures. We couldn't read all of it, but we showed you again the glory. And we started out where it said Solomon loved God. I mean, he loved God and walked in the ways of his father David. And then we went to scriptures like where that God appeared to him in a dream and said, what do you want? I want wisdom so I can follow you. And he said, you've asked for the best thing because you've asked for wisdom. I'm going to give you riches too. I'm going to make you the richest and wisest man on the earth. Then when he dedicated the temple, we went to some of that scripture. When he dedicated the temple, the glory was so strong that it said they could not stand. They could not stand. I mean, we've not had one of those services yet. And that's OT. That's Old Testament. The glory, the glory cloud came in. They couldn't stand. He sacrificed 120,000 sheep. At that church service, he sacrificed 120,000 sheep. God, that's a lot of sheep. Then we went into his riches and all that he had, and God gave him, and God gave him, and God gave him. But then when we went to 1 Kings chapter 11, it said that Solomon had loved many strange women. And it went on, I'm now paraphrasing it, that they turned his heart. And it said in his old age, Solomon left God. And he not only backslid, he didn't just stop coming to church. The Bible says that he went on to build temples to Molech, to all these other gods. And he actually, the word says, he worshiped in those temples. Can you imagine this? In his old age, he went from standing in a place of absolute glory. Well, what's the storyline? The storyline is, once you start allowing other lovers in your life, distractions in your life, there's no end to it. It will eventually has the capacity not only to neutralize you, and you're yawning at the glory of the Lord, at the word of the Lord, like, good stuff. Now, let's get a cheeseburger, man. We endured that service. Let's go do something. Now, that's not you, but that's where he wants to take us, and God wants to take us to a place where, my God, every word, even the ABCs of the gospel become my God. How can you feel that way? Because when you are fellowshipping with him, we went to that scripture in Song of Solomon, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. We talked about the hand of God in the Song of Solomon. He don't want no hand relationship. The hand relationship, God's hand is the finger of God is the Holy Spirit. That's miracles. Miracles are wonderful. We're going to see that night. That's the hand. That blesses people. The mouth to mouth, I'm not trying to be vulgar. It's wonderful. It's a beautiful thing. We understand the relationship between a husband and a wife. The kiss on the cheek's wonderful, but the mouth to mouth is intimacy. And God is calling us not to kiss his hand. God is calling us to kiss his face through intimacy and to be absolutely desperate for him. I got to have you, God, or I'll die. What does that mean? What is it that I need to cut off? And I'm not talking about moral. Sometimes it's not what you have done morally. It's like, what is bleeding my time? What's the time robber? What's the thing that's taking part of my life that's keeping me from spending the time that I need to get closer, for me and you to have a mouth-to-mouth kissing session? That's just it. Glory be to God. We are on a journey to eliminate distractions. To the hungry soul, every bitter, listen to this, this is what the word says, we just read it. Thank you, Jesus. To the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Every bitter thing. The hungry soul holds on to every word of God with an absolute obsession, like, my God. Man, it didn't have to be deep. It's just the word. I love it. Glory be to God. The ABCs are just as sweet. It says here, even bitter things are sweet. Well, how can bitter things be sweet? Proverbs 27:5, we back up and we find the context of what he's saying. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Now listen to this, and you are, and I appreciate it. When we are hungry, open rebuke is better than secret love to a hungry soul. The open rebuke in our services that tell us from the Holy Spirit, change our lives, eliminate distractions that are filling your life so that your soul is full, this rebuke is better than secret love. We must come away from the distractions of this world to serve him. Now, the distractions that I hope you're understanding, I'm not thinking that the distractions you're in is going to the bars. It's got to be something that is just so personal that you'd say, no, that's sanctified. Something might have started out sanctified, but just because something started out sanctified don't mean it always stays sanctified. Well, that's Solomon, and that's the OT. No, John said in 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Last word, 1 John, amen. In other words, on this journey, the idols, it doesn't have to be idols of you're running around and fornicating and all that. Sure, that's idol. I'm sure that stuff eventually can send you to hell. But John's talking about whatever in your life competes with him, competes with the relationship that you should be having with him as giving him. We are his hope. Those of you that are watching, you're his hope. He's asking you. Now, here's the deal. Here's what you got to really conclude. This will make you happy. Getting rid of these idols that we're talking about is not necessarily, we're not in the context of heaven and hell. If you live your life in the context of heaven and hell, can I do this or not do this based on heaven and hell? We hope to God we're past that. We're wanting to eliminate anything and everything that would keep us from going into His fullness. When the soul is hungry, when the soul is hungry, words that wound may first taste bitter, but when they are spiritually digested, they're sweet and fill the hunger of the thirsty soul. We must cry out for the wounds. Do you understand that? I know you do. You're listening. I'm saying this not to impress you. Lord, wound me. Wound me continually. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Now, I got this friend. He's called the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I haven't done this life twice. If I was going through it twice, I'd be better at this. But this is my first go-around. This is your first go-around. So I've never been through this thing of receiving revival before. So I've got to depend on this faithful friend. And this faithful friend, he's not only my lover, he will wound me just for a moment that he can heal me. And the wounds sometimes taste bitter, but because I'm hungry, when they are digested, oh, they become sweet. They become sweet. Hallelujah. Most people want this. Well, let's say most. Hopefully that's not you or those of you listening. Most people want yes men around them. They cannot tolerate the truth. The Word says to speak the truth in love. People love to hear, yes, you're wonderful. Yes, it's okay that you're not where you should be right now. You'll catch up. Yes, this distraction right now, it's a distraction. But this will pass and you will get, you'll get back on track after it's over. No, you won't. No, you won't. You will just go on to the next distraction. That will fill your time and energy and your soul so that you will loathe the honeycomb. In other words, you'll say, man, I appreciate Pastor Brown. He's a good guy. I love him. But I know he loves God. I'm just not on the same. I don't know why he's so excited. I don't know what this thing about, whoa, glory God, we're going to have a revival. It's a honeycomb sitting there. Do you loathe it or do you cherish it like every bitter word is sweet? Like, okay, when the Holy Spirit says, time robber, do you say, do you justify it with your conscience and your mind? Say, no, I got to do that. Or do you allow the friend that is speaking present tense bitter words become sweet words because faithful are his wounds? His wounds are faithful. The busier you are, the greater the necessity to pray. If you're real busy, your necessity to pray has amplified many times over. There was a great man of God, I can't remember who it was, he said, I'm too busy not to pray. I've got too much going on to pray, not to pray. Otherwise, I'm going to make a lot of mistakes. When the soul is hungry for God, every word spoken is life. Every move of God's presence is held in the highest regard. Even that which could be considered bitter is counted as sweet. Every chastening of the Holy Spirit is wonderful. The hungry soul does not hide or justify when the Holy Spirit says, as I just said, that's a time robber. Now, I'm not interested in you. I'm not a priest, and you don't have to come and do any catharsis with me. But I'm telling you, every single one of us, when we appear before Him with the kisses of His mouth, every single one of us are subject to Him saying to us, time robber, time robber, time robber. Now, we can, the Holy Spirit's not a demon. Well, you knew that. Demons will aggravate the hell out of you, or they'll put the hell in you. The Holy Spirit will whisper to you, and if you just come up with a justifying thought, He'll leave you alone. He'll try it again after a while. No, I got to do that. I got to do that. False responsibility also kills Christians. False believing I got to do. Who said you had to do that? Who said you had to fix that person? Some people can't be fixed. You just got to leave them with God. It's time, and you know this, I'm not being mean, I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching with you. It's time for the church to grow up like never before. The church at this point in time, because of where we're going, I'm going to read a prophecy, hopefully, I think we'll have time, is coming to a place where all foolishness, in times gone by, in our growth, we followed God to the best of our ability. I tried to lead you to the best of my ability. I don't have any regrets in that. You guys that have been with us from the beginning, wonderful. I appreciate that. You've just done your best that you know how to do, and that's all that God expects of us. But the more that we grow and the more that we grow in the Word, there are levels of accountability and levels of authority and levels that we're growing to a place where foolishness, I'll define that in a minute a little bit better, is no longer tolerated. And I'm not talking about that we're going to run some kind of dictatorship here and hurt people's feelings and run over people. That's not the Spirit of God. That's not the Spirit of love. But people, let's just talk about this. I'm going to give you an example. People that will not change, okay? They're born again, Spirit-filled. They come in. This is just one example. I'll pick on my men here, okay? I don't have to pick on these guys, but I'll just talk about men, young men, okay? Let's say this. If a young man comes in, bless him, Lord. If a young man comes in and he's got a problem, he gets born again, Spirit-filled, and he comes to me and he says, Pastor, I got a problem with pornography, self-gratification, and fornication. I'm going to sit down like a father, and I'm going to take him through, bam, 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 bam. And there's men. Now, first of all, I mean, you know this, ladies. If anybody ever comes to you and wants to talk about that stuff, you know right there, they're perverted. A man doesn't talk to any woman about that kind of stuff. He goes to an elder man and talks, okay? If somebody ever starts that, you come see me, and I'll go see them. Me and Marty will go see them, okay? But here's the deal. If a young man says that, I'm not going after anything. I'm just trying to give you a prime example. And I sit down like a father, give him verses, give him scripture, give him this is how we do it, this is how you do it. He comes back in 6 months, still got the same problem. I might tolerate that and talk to him a little bit. He comes back after 2 years. 2 years is too long, but I'm trying to give somebody if he comes back after a year and a half, 2 years, and still got the same problem, I'm struggling, Pastor, and I'm talking. I'm really having a hard time. This is hard. The enemy's coming against me, and I'm really tempted. You know what I'm going to tell him is that you are a liar. It's not hard. The only thing is hard is when you don't sell out. The Bible says his commandments are not grievous. Nobody ever had a problem with temptation. The only problem they ever had, now get me, I got you. The enemy can come at you with anything, any kind of weird thought or any kind of emotion. But the only reason why it gets any place and foolishness is, I'm going to tell all these guys this, and I'm just like if there was 100 of you sitting here, don't patronize that stuff. Treat it just like I would treat it. Be passionate to start with, but if anybody says, I can't stop or I can't do this, it's just too hard. Listen, here's the problem. They've got one problem. Temptation's not the problem. They've never sold out to Christ. They've never made the decision that I'm going all the way, I'm a sellout. Once they sell out and then start doing, the first of all, the new nature itself was enough. All they want to do, foolishness is, all they want to do is talk about their problem. And they're hoping somebody will pat them on the back and squeeze them and coddle them and say, well, it's okay, honey. Well, I shouldn't say honey to a man. It's okay, buddy. Your self-gratification and pornography, I know you struggle with it. God's going to see you to the end. Yeah, he will. But listen, you don't have a temptation problem. You just never have sold out to God. Don't talk to him, guys. talk to them about once or twice, and then tell them after that, you need to sell out. You need to sell out. Hallelujah. What got on you, Pastor? I don't know. Hallelujah. It becomes easy when you sell out. When you love him more than anything else. If a man says, I'm having a temptation, a real temptation. Now, I'm not talking about stupid thoughts. Anybody that says they don't have stupid thoughts at times is a liar, okay? But when something really aggravates you, it just sticks there and it just really grades on you and you can't hardly, I'm having really a strong temptation to commit adultery on my wife. He just won't leave me alone. He won't leave me. No. Listen, the only problem you got is, or the problem is not the temptation, you don't love your wife. If you love Jesus more than anything else, if you're passionate, if you're a sellout to Jesus, sin doesn't bother you. If you love your wife with all your heart, there's no temptation. There may be a stupid thought, but there's no temptation. It's different. God's looking for sellouts. Just sell out. Then it gets easy. It gets easy then. Hallelujah. We are Joel's army. I'm going to sound like Nathan for a minute. Everybody say, Joel's army. I love you, Nathan, if you ever listen to this. I love it when he repeats, say this. Joel's army. There should be no difference what we say and teach among us, especially among our elders. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and there be no divisions among you, but that you perfectly be joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. That we're supposed to speak the same thing. Same thing. I'll read this because then I might muck it up if I try to say it. If anyone approaches you and says, I need to talk to you. I love Pastor, but I hold him in such a high regards that I'd hate to share these things. I feel more comfortable telling you. And this is not because I want to counsel everybody or keep everybody close to the vest. I don't want to. I don't have time. I want the authority to go out to elders and people that really know how to speak the same thing. So that's not even a problem. But if anybody ever does that, let me tell you this. First of all, they don't know me. I'm not their pastor. I don't care if they've been coming here for 15 years. They don't know me. Never have known me. Because, first of all, I've been married 40 years. I've seen a whole lot of things. There's nothing anybody can tell me that I haven't already heard. You can't tell me any nasty story or any bad thing or what you did or what you've done or whatever that I'm going to go, oh, my God, that's the worst thing I've never heard of anything like that. My God, I didn't know that people could do that. Come on, man. First of all, they don't know me. Secondly, they are paying you no respect, not a bit of respect, because they are saying this. Somebody said, well, they came to me. Well, that's no compliment. If they said, I really don't want to tell Pastor this, but I feel more comfortable telling you, that's no compliment. And I'm not saying that you think it. I'm just saying, make sure that you understand that's no compliment. They are saying that they believe that you're not on the same level that I'm on. That's what they're saying. Joel's army is just, you got a bunch of, now I know I'm the leader in the pack in the sense of I'm the pastor, but Joel's army all walks together and we all say the same thing. And if somebody says, well, I can't talk to Pastor, but I can talk to you, you ought to slap him right there. Well, I'm going to tell you the same thing Pastor does. I walk in the same place. I walk in the same righteousness, the same answer. I'm going to give you the same answer that he would. You're not going to get something by on me just because you're not going to the pastor. Hallelujah. We're preaching real good now, aren't we? The response that they expect to have received from the pastor, they should receive exactly the same response from you. People that are distracted are being held back. Now, okay, this is a note of my own, so you wouldn't understand this for me to just read this out, okay? There are people that through the years, now I'm talking, we're on the subject of foolishness now, and I got to be careful here. I'll say this and I'll explain it a little bit. There are people that have come and gone among us. Now, I'm not talking about people with faults. People with faults are certainly welcome here, and everybody is welcome here in a general sense. And I'm talking about people that might be walking through some hard things. I'm not this word tonight, these things are to elders and up-and-coming elders, and I'm looking at these young men and young women. But I'm telling you, there's people that have come among us in times gone by, and they've heard the word, and they've been with us for years. Listen, you may not understand this, and you may not even agree with it. You will if you know what I'm talking about. Some people I don't want here for the time being. As long as they want to come and they will not change and they only provide foolishness, confusion when they're here, actually, I got to let you in. It's partly because of my prayers they're not here. You say, my God, you pray people out of the church from time to time. I say, Lord, if they're not ready to change the foolishness that they've been walking in and they've heard all these messages and they've been gone from us, don't let them come back until they're ready to change, because they'll just come back with the same confusion, same, well, glory to God, Pastor, we can do that. I'll start praying people out of the church that I don't know. You'll pray. If that's your attitude, you might as well pray to Humpty Dumpty. It won't do no good, because I'm not praying them. I'm not holding them back because I don't like them. I don't want foolishness among us. And the elders are going to bring, we're going to have a great influx I don't want stuff to show up, but please, God, before it breaks loose, and it's about to break loose, if anybody's got anything that could crop up among us, first of all, let them deal with it. I don't want to know about it. But the thing about it is, we're fixing to go into revival. Yes, and if you got some stuff in your closet that needs to be brought out and washed under the blood, you better get it done now. Because I don't want it to be exposed later. Okay? We don't want to be dealing with it later. Let's get it done now. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. These are the ones that... Hallelujah. Do you still love me? Say it, Pastor. Let me read this. This is a present day speaking of the Lord. I don't know. This might have been one that Gary read recently. I can't preach this because I'm gonna let you go out of here in just a little bit. I'm just going to kind of try to just read it because it came right out of the heart of God. I need your yielded heart. I speak to my children. I speak to my sons and my daughters to rise up in the spirit of holiness that I have placed within them, to rise up in power, the power of holiness that I have put in them, to rise up with dominion that they have been given, that I have given them over sin, to rise up and walk in the newness of life that I gave them, free by the grace and gift that my Son paid for. Rise up in holiness and be obedient to that salvation that is working in you. Let it come forward. Be obedient. Yield. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. For there's no temptation, none that has ever come your way that you do not have enough ability to say no. You can say no. I have given you the ability. I've given you the very thing that you need to say no, because I made you free. So walk in the freedom that I have given you. Be obedient. Though the pressure may seem strong, and though the pressure may seem like it is stronger than that which lives in you, do not believe the lie of the devil, the devil would speak in your ear. Believe that I said, believe my truth, say what I said, rise up in holiness, resist, because I gave you the power to resist. It is in you, it is alive. Stand through every while that the devil would sin, take the shield of faith, take the sword of the Spirit, take the helmet of salvation, stand, for he does not have enough ability to make you give in. I've defeated him and given you all the power over him. But all the power over him is found in the power of my Son that I put in you. So yield to me. Yield to me, for I speak to many who are very, very accountable in their walk with me. For they have lived in the place of disobedience that has grieved my heart. It's hurt me. It has grieved me because you know that I have been calling you with love and compassion and mercy. And I've been saying, yield, be obedient, yield, yield. Do not harden your heart. Yield, yield, say yes. Obey me, for I have nothing but life for you. I have nothing but life more abundantly. You have been deceived, thinking that you can't trust me, and I ask that you trust me. Say yes. Let the sin go, because it will take your life. Let it go. I'm calling you. I've given you all ability, all power, all dominion to follow me. I never ask you to do something that is grievous, for my commandments are not grievous. They're life. My commandments are not burdensome. They're life. So obey me. On the other side of your obedience, there is much that you have been looking for. My plan will come forward in ways that you have thought not possible. Obey me. Trust me. I will speak to others, and I will say, continue to stand. For many have disregarded the stand of holiness in this generation that made it seem like an insignificant thing. But it touches my heart. It makes me proud that my children walk in their birthright. Stand and continue to stand. For in your authority, I am able to do much for them through you who have not been touched with uncleanliness. Stand, for just your very presence causes conviction whenever you walk in the room, because you are walking in a different lifestyle than much of where my body has chosen to live. Stand in holiness, for your reward will be great. Fortify yourself in me. Continue to spend time in my presence. Spend time in worship. Spend time in my word. Spend time loving on me, and let me love on you, because I am only going to edify you to be stronger and stronger in the things that I have asked you to do. Don't think that you cannot be obedient today. For many, I am going to ask a new level of surrender. It is not going to make sense, the things that I start to say. Don't question my leadership. Just say yes. Many are going to remember I am saying this. I have plans that must come forward, and I need your yielded heart. You will know that you are hearing me. So be obedient when you know, because this body is going higher. There is much that needs to be accomplished, much that my spirit has been working, much that is going to come to pass, much. Be obedient. Continue to stand. Stay strong. Stay edified. Stay built up. Stay in love with me, and do not let anything distract you from that place where you spend time with me. For many have been distracted. And I do not come with anger. I come with love that says, it's okay, just get back in there with me. Return. Don't let the busyness of life steal your relationship with me, because the devil knows that he is working overtime right now to steal your time. So do not let him take that quiet time from me or with me. Be aggressive and fight him to get alone, spend time with me, and much fruit will be reaped. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let's all stand. I remind you, if you have anything to give tonight, as you're saying goodbye to everybody, this is available up here, and those of you that are giving, we appreciate it. Sunday's going to be a wonderful day. We're going to celebrate. We've got some things to celebrate. I pray tomorrow that sometime in your day, if that's early or whatever you steal, We're not asking you to go steal something. We're asking you to steal time. Steal the time. Father, we love you. We glorify you. Only you can bring us into this. I know that, Lord. It can't be manipulated. It can't be mandated. It can't be done. It's impossible to be done by the hands of man. But I believe in you. And I believe that you're stirring your sons and your daughters. I believe that as they lay down tonight, and as they lay down during the week and in the quiet times, that you'll catch them. That you'll catch them. When they begin to relax, that your heart will catch them and you'll pull on them and you'll cause them to come into a gravitation like the earth has its gravitational pull, that any object that comes too close begins to be pulled into that gravity field. I'm asking you to pull us in. God, I pray that we'll all get close enough that you pull us into that place, that gravity field that begins to pull us into the very face of the Son of God. Lord, it's not enough anymore to not kiss you on the mouth. We have to get to a place, and that's where we're headed. Lord, we speak blessings over these. We speak blessings over these that are watching. Guide us, lead us, in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. We will see you Sunday. Amen.